This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's welcome in on our Trocare College live line, Steve Roberts, political analyst, as we are just over a week away from Election Day. All right, Steve, it's the final stretch, the final blitz, and just like basically every time we've talked with you over the past month or so, it appears to be as close as ever.
Yes, it does. And that's why the closing arguments on both sides are much more focused on fear than on hope. If you look at Kamala Harris's closing ad, the tagline is Donald Trump unhinged, unstable, unchecked. This is not Morning in America. This is not the politics of joy. This is the politics of fear. And that's because the Democrats need to turn out every single one of their voters. And how do you do that? You do it by raising the stakes. You do it by saying, look, you might not still, you're still unhappy about gas and grocery prices. You're still unhappy about the immigration policies. But Donald Trump would be worse. The Democrats have got to make this a choice between Harris and Trump. If it's a referendum on the Biden years, they're going to lose. Two-thirds of Americans still say that the country's heading the wrong direction. You cannot run on four more years, happy days are here again, when the country is that gloomy. So you got to say to the voters, you got to get out there and vote because Trump's worse. And in many ways, Trump has always, for his part, has always followed the politics of fear. He's always demonized immigrants, starting from the first day he ever ran back in 2015. And he's very consistent about that. He's always demonized his opponents. He's always tried to scare his supporters. Right now, his themes are talking about two invasions. One are the invasions of immigrants, thugs, criminals, drug dealers, as he puts it. And the other is transgender people who are going to invade, you know, all of these big burly guys in skirts are going to invade female locker rooms. And so both sides are trying to say, you might be unhappy with us, but the other guys is worse. And therefore, that's why you have to vote.
Steve, this is also turning into a battle of the surrogates, too, isn't it?
Yeah, it always does to some extent. But one of the things that's important for Harris in particular, look, when you get Beyonce singing for Harris, not a lot of people are going to vote for her necessarily because Beyonce tells them to do. But what you have to understand is that these celebrities have enormous followings in social media. Beyonce has hundreds of millions of followers. Taylor Swift has 550 million followers if you add up all of her social media accounts. That data is absolutely invaluable. If Beyonce or Bruce Springsteen or any of these celebrities give the campaign access to their social media accounts, this is absolutely invaluable material to help drive people to the polls because, you know, folks who follow Beyonce might not watch CNN and might not tune into your WBEN in Buffalo, but they follow Beyonce, and that's where you have to find them.
Well, both are blitzing these battleground states. I was just in North Carolina over the weekend, and let me tell you, I've never seen more signs or ads or anything like right. that in my entire life. When it comes to the polls, looking at the battleground states, do they get more or less reliable as we get closer to Election Day?
You know, that's a very good question. And the answer is it depends. I mean, some years the polls are very, very accurate. And some years they've not been accurate. And one of the things that really frightens Democrats, with good reason, is that historically Trump has tended to underpoll. The last two elections, particularly in 2016, the polls did not capture a last-minute surge for Donald Trump. I had a former student who was working for Hillary Clinton, and he told me that at 4 o'clock on Election Day in Brooklyn, the Hillary Clinton team was popping champagne and celebrating her victory. That's how bad the polls were in 2016. Now, the question is, have they gotten better? Have they understood that in the past they have underpolled Trump? And have they made adjustments? But when you get down, I think the answer is that when you the real problem with polling is if there's a late surge, as there was in 16, it's hard to catch that in the final polls.
Well, we'll know this one in a few days, in a week and a few days. You've covered, I think you've said, 16 presidential elections.
That's correct, Susan.
How long do you think it's going to take to determine a winner this year?
I think it could be 2,000 all over again. Let's remember Florida, 2,500 votes separating Gore and Bush, enormous fights over the whole question of which ballots should be counted. And that was a minor leap compared to the way that both sides have geared up their legal teams. And so if these states are as close as I think they're going to be, it's actually going to be worse than 2,000 because both sides have amassed such teams of legal analysts and enforcers to go to court. It could be weeks before we know the outcome of this election.
At her last stop inside a packed gymnasium after making several appearances across Philadelphia Sunday, the vice president's remarks were brief. Harris brought up her opponent, former President Donald Trump.
This election is about two extremely different visions for our nation. One, Donald Trump's, who is focused on the past and himself. We are not going back.
She also touched on topics like abortion and the Israel-Hamas war before encouraging the crowd to reach out to their loved ones and community to get out to vote. Nina Baratti for CBS News Philadelphia.
As the Trump campaign continues to court the Latino vote, it was this offhand joke that drew swift backlash.
I don't know if you guys know this, but there's literally a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean right now. Yeah. I think it's called Puerto Rico.
Less than 2 hours later, Puerto Rican superstar Bad Bunny reshared a video from Vice President Harris's campaign, posted earlier in the day, to his nearly 46 million followers.
I will never forget what Donald Trump did and what he did not do when Puerto Rico needed a caring and a competent leader.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.